All right. Up next, we've got Corey Dempsey. I think probably most of you know him better than I do. I didn't know him at all before this, but biggest thing about Corey is he is also launching his own podcast through Metroland. So you gotta go listen to it. It sounds so fun and so cool. We talk about it all in here. I don't want to give anything away, so I'm gonna let him tell you all of what it's about. And it was just really cool to meet him because I feel like he's one of those people whose name I've heard, but I just never really got to connect all of the bands that he's been in and his name and face. So it was cool to be able to do that. So this is Corey.
Talking to normal people.
Okay, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks awesome. For having me.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me about your podcast.
So we had me and my friend Andrew Beam, who is in the band Sad Dads with me. We had a podcast back in the day.
Before podcasts were like hot.
I don't know about that. We had it like in 2020. We started a podcast we had the idea like in 2019. We were just going to do a podcast, and then we had, you know, COVID and we were bored. And so we started doing one for real. And it was called the Back Porch Podcast then, and we just had, you know, conversations about pop culture stuff, music, movies, all that. And then we started inviting guests of the local film scene on, and then we started doing a bunch of movies. And it was just kind of like recording episodes, you know, testing the waters, feeling out what we could do.
Yeah.
Then we just stopped it because Beam had a baby, and then I had a baby, and then it just all became too much. But now the kids are a little bit older, and then I started working for Metroland. So then, you know, I talked with Andy, and he's like, hey, do you want to bring this back in some form? And so we did.
Oh, cool. Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah.
So is it, like, what's the form that it's in now?
So now it's going to be an 8-episode season.
Okay. That makes me feel better because I was like, Andy just like does his every week. And I'm like, I can't do that.
I have no interest. No. Honestly, like we'll probably once we have like the feed, we'll probably do some more like individual episodes where we, you know, just pop on and release something when something like is happening that warrants the discussion. But it's an 8-episode season and it's about twin films. Movies with the exact same premise that came out around the same time. So,
whoa.
You know, the spawn of the idea was Armageddon and Deep Impact, which was, you know, two movies about comets hitting the Earth in the late 90s that were very important to our childhood.
Okay.
And then there's just a whole long list of them. So in this first season, we took 8 of those pairings and we invited a local artist of some kind to come on and analyze these two films with us.
Oh, that's so fun.
So me and Beam are two of the judges, and then there's a third guest judge, and between the three of us we decide which of those twin films is better.
My God.
So cool. Armageddon Deep Impact is going to be one of the episodes that's the spawn of the idea, and then there's 7 other pairings that we did in this first season. And
oh my God, I want to know them all. But I'm not gonna we'll talk about it later, maybe.
Okay. But so that's gonna be the thing. And we did video for it, which was a whole other undertaking, and so we've been video editing it and all that, and it's almost ready for release. So
oh my God, yes,
it will come out to the public soon.
Great.
And you'll be able to find out all those pairings.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, fun. Okay. I have like so many questions.
Yeah, please.
Because I think that this is like the coolest idea ever.
Okay.
So like I just didn't even know that this was like a thing in life. So like I'm learning that freshly. Mm-hmm. I also know nothing about you. So I'm also just like, whoa. So what's your like history with film?
Personally? Man, I've always just been like a huge fan. Honestly, like when I was in high school, I started gravitating towards movies and just falling in love with them. And then, you know, in high school and in college, I just watched every possible movie that I could. And I always just loved them. And, you know, I dabbled with like writing some film reviews and stuff like that. And
like in high school, like for the paper,
high school and college. And then like after college, I, you know, on blogs and stuff. Just,
oh my God. What did you study in college?
I was an environmental science major in college.
I thought for sure you were going to say like something about film. Okay.
No, no. I mean, if you really want to get into it, like I went to college, to play soccer. Like that was, that was my, you know, purpose of college. That was like what guided my decision. So I, you know, got a scholarship, went and played Division One soccer. And I just happened to choose environmental science because that's what sounded good at the time.
Sure.
If I had like gone to college for my interests, I would have done something with like music production or film studies or something like that. Mm-hmm. But like the college I ended up choosing because of soccer didn't really have those programs.
What was the college?
Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, sure. I've actually weirdly heard of that.
Okay.
Why do I know what that is? I went to school in like southernish, centralish Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And
nearby.
So, yeah, it's kind of close. And it, maybe that's why.
Yeah, it's right on the border of Jersey and Pennsylvania. And
yeah, because I spent like a weird... So did you go to like New Hope at all ever?
No, when I lived in Princeton, we went to New Hope. So my wife and I lived in Princeton for a time. And we went to New Hope.
My college was like... So I went to Rider University, which was...
Yeah.
Westminster Choir College was like a branch of it, which was in Princeton.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to have to like go to Princeton sometimes. And I also had a friend who went to Princeton. So I like... went to a couple parties at Princeton or whatever. And like downtown Princeton is like Saratoga.
Yeah.
It's like very similar. It's a really cute. It's a weirdly like cute little area.
It's very
nice. My school was like 20 minutes south of Princeton in the middle of literally nowhere, built on a cranberry bog.
Yeah. We played Rider University in college. Did. We played them.
Did I ever go to a soccer game? I don't like, did I do that? I know I went to basketball because I did play flute in the pep band.
Okay, nice.
I did that. But I don't think I ever went to a soccer game, and I liked soccer games, so I don't know why I didn't do that. But
I mean, I don't know. Rider University didn't have the best soccer team.
Oh,
I will
no,
say
Rider
that.
Was terrible at almost all things. Yeah. Okay, we were near each other.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah, so I went to college for that, and then, you know, as it happens with all athletic careers, they come to an end because either you're not good enough or you get old. Mine was a combination of the two.
Yeah.
And, you know, then I just was deciding what to do with my life. I became a teacher, coached soccer for a long time, partly because that gave me enough time off to pursue creative things on the side.
That's true.
And then as I got on in my
schedule than that for that. Yeah.
And as I got on in my teaching career, I got more responsibilities and, you know, all that. And then the creative stuff started to go by the wayside, and I got miserable with it for multiple reasons. But then so I left teaching and was trying to figure out what to do. And I just kind of put myself fully into these creative pursuits, started the podcast, and that's when I started to meet all these people in the local Albany like film scene. And that kind of, you know, has led to what I do now, which is, you know, podcasts about movies. I write about movies for Metroland.
Oh, cool.
And then, you know, local music stuff too. So
yeah,
I've been doing that for about the last 4 years, like kind of fully committed. Yeah. And then I just have random jobs on the side so I can pay my bills.
Yeah. What are your random side jobs?
Mostly bartending. I was the lead bartender and music director at the now defunct Single Cut North.
Now defunct?
Yeah, it's closed.
What?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
December 13th was the final show.
Whoa. Oh my God. I haven't been on social media in like months.
Yeah.
So I don't know like anything about anything.
We had a big party. It was my band, Sad Dads, Eerie.
Oh my God.
Shortwave radio band, The Sugar Hold, The Batten Killers.
Oh my God.
We just had a big party.
All the good people. Yeah. All the
people I'm friends with. I was just like, hey, we're going to have a party.
We're going to do this.
And we're going to blow it out. And so.
Yes,
now defunct. Now I just have other random jobs to help keep the bills paid. But
yeah,
that's always what it was. It's just jobs to keep the bills paid so I can
totally
do creative stuff.
Thing. Yeah, that's. I think that's a lot of us.
I think most.
It's like we're
all
walking
around. What job gives us enough flexibility to do this other shit on the side?
Yeah, and I feel like my boyfriend and I are just now figuring it all. Like, we're just getting to the point where we're like, oh, okay, we don't have to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. We can kind of be a little picky about what those side jobs are. Because for a while, we were just like, we'll do it all. We just need money. Like, it was just, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And now we're getting to the point where we're a little bit like, okay, like, let's sit and think about, do we need to say yes to this? Is it worth it? Is it worth the time? Is it worth the money? You know, all the little things.
Yeah, you have to become, like, your own personal accountant and just decide, like, oh, all right, this is the amount I need every month. Yes. Have I hit this amount? Cool.
Then good. I'm good to go. And then I just can say no. Yeah. That's literally it. I'm like, I actually don't need to do this.
I have a monthly spreadsheet of my earnings and I just keep track of them. And I'm just like, did I hit my number? Great.
Yeah.
I didn't. Okay. The next month I just need to make a little bit more.
Yeah. That's literally same. And I feel like I had a gig recently and it was like, it seemed like it was going to be a really good, like, I was like, oh, there's going to be a lot of people there. Okay, that's great. Like, in terms of just, like, exposure. But it also paid very well. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit. Okay. I will come out of, like, I've been in, like, a little bit of a hibernation. I will come out of my hibernation to do this gig. I did the gig. I made the money. I ended up playing for, like, 6 people. There were, like, no fucking people there. It fucking sucked. And I was also supposed to have, like, my first vacation. My first, like, multiple days off in a row in mm-hmm. probably like 2 years, you know? And I was like, fine, I'll take this gig. It's fine. It's worth the money. It's going to be good exposure. I'm going to take it. And we left and I did it with my boyfriend and we left and I looked at him and I was like, I don't even know if that was worth the money. And it was good money. And I was like, I don't even know if it was worth it actually in the end. Like, yeah. I was like, oh fuck. Like, I was like, I would have rather stayed home than played to 6 people and made that money. You know? I was like, oof, this is getting like, this is, I'm like, I gotta be picky and yeah. I gotta like really like, it's hard though too when you're like, when you don't have like the PTO, you don't have the paid time off or the built-in vacation or whatever, like you aren't a salaried person because you're like, anytime I take off is money
you're not
gone.
Getting paid. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's hard, tough. But
it's all, but each thing, I think it's like each version of life comes with its positives and negatives. Like
yeah.
if you want to be in that world and do that and like you can balance that, but it's that thing where you're like, you just start getting more and more responsibilities. I just feel like in a position like that, it's just going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's like, going to overtake your creative life.
Yeah. And, you know, I have friends who are creative people, but they live that life. And, you know, I see how much joy it brings them when they get to like play live and do these things, but they have different priorities. And like, for me, it just didn't work. And like, that was the difference. Like, when I wasn't able to do those creative things, like it actually made me feel bad and like hurt myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, this fucking sucks. Yeah. And like, I got depressed and yeah. I was like, I can't do this shit.
Totally.
And so I just had to like, I talked to a therapist about it. They were like, you should probably move on. Do something else with your life. I was like, and then that was a big scary thing. And then it was
totally
like,
right.
You know,
it's so scary leaving the stability, yeah. the monetary stability.
And then, you know, you have a midlife crisis of like, what now, what am I, and blah blah blah, and you just, you know, you figure it out, you come through it, and that's where I am now. And I, like you said, like I'm figuring it out, and I feel like I'm in a pretty good spot where I'm making enough money to live my life and pay my bills and support my family, but I have enough time to do all this other shit that I actually want to do.
Yes.
Which is, I feel like that's the good balance that you just have to find if you're living this life of, you know, being an artist
until
you know, something hits and you get paid enough, or you just keep doing it and keep living this way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I've been thinking too, cause I keep kind of craving that like monetary stability,
mm-hmm.
but I'm like with real monetary stability comes again, more like you just have more responsibility.
Yeah. And then the creative stuff becomes a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a weird thing that has happened to me in the last couple of years that I was like, I was just doing it because it was fun and I liked it at first. And then it like kind of started to take off. And then I was like, oh, fuck. Okay. Well, this is taking off. This is fun. And then it like got to the point where I was like, oh, fuck, I'm actually exhausted. Like I am overworked and overwhelmed and like whole. And then I had to like, I feel like there's so much, like being a creative person and trying to balance all of the pieces, there's so much like internal assessment that you have to be doing. I feel like it's almost like every 6 months I'm like, I have a moment where I'm like, whoop, whoop, like the world stops. And then I'm like, do I like this? You know, like, or am I just going, you know? It's kind of like a weird thing that I've been thinking about a lot.
For sure. And, you know, I suppose in some way I've been fortunate enough that nothing's like taken off to the point that like I've never gotten to there.
Yeah.
Where like I have to.
I've been fortunate enough that I'm just coasting.
And like I just nice go, feeling. I just go project to project. And yes. like that serves my own ADHD where like, all right, I'm bored of this. I can do the next thing.
Yeah.
So like, honestly, I've just been taking it on like a project by project basis. It's like, That's all right, this is what I'm working on. This is what I'm doing. So like, you know, the two projects that I have going right now are like, I'm writing a screenplay for a short film.
I've had this idea
for ages. And you know, with these people that I've met in the local film scene, they're just like, oh, you should just do it. And like, I had this big feature length and they're like, just do a short film as a proof of concept. You can take it to film festivals, do that whole thing. And if somebody likes it, maybe they'll pay you and give you funding to do the feature length version.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, oh, that's a great point.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the projects that I'm working on right now. And then one of the bands I'm a part of, Not Chinese Takeout,
the name of the band.
Yeah. I had no part in the naming. I think it's a dumb name, but they love it. And people love it and they think it's funny.
I think it's funny. I agree.
So, you know, but they're working on an album. So I've been working on that with them.
Oh my God, fun.
Doing that. So those are like the two projects that I'm on right now.
Yeah.
I'll do them. Hopefully something happens with them.
Yeah.
If it does, great. And then I'll have to do the self-assessment piece that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I'll have the crisis about, is this worth it?
Yeah.
But until then, I'm just, you know, those are the two main projects that like I'm doing right now. And then we'll see.
Yeah. Because I remember the first time I felt that was in college, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my, like, I went to school for musical theater. Mm-hmm. So musicals were just always like, I did one in the fall. I did one in the spring. And they were always just like my favorite thing. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, I love this. And I guess I'm good at, like, I can sing. So like, I love this the most out of all the things that I do. So let me just go to school for that. And then I got to school for that. And then you're doing it 8 hours a day. And then you're like, you don't even realize, like my voice teacher said it to me. She was like, well, now your de-stressor has become your stress.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh fuck. And so like that, and I feel like that just in the last couple of years happened to me again, where it was just like this fun thing of like songwriting. Songwriting for me was always just like, I'm feeling feelings. I'm going to write songs about them.
Right.
And then it was like, oh, now I'm like making albums and having to post on social media and trying to get people to come to my shows, and I'm trying to market and I'm trying to like be my own accountant and marketing and doing all the band things and doing, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you're just like, ugh! And then I'm like, what the fuck? Like, it's just, yeah, it can be very overwhelming.
No doubt. Because like it becomes that job. Yeah, and like,
and you're like, oh fuck, I just wanted this to be fun.
The Not Chinese Takeout thing is for me is great because I'm not the band leader. Person. I'm not the person. Like, I'm just the guy. Yep. I write and compose some music. Yeah. I give it to them and I'm like, cool. And then we play a show live. They're like, be here, play your guitar. I'm like, perfect. Done. Yes.
That's a great spot to be.
Yeah,
it's
love
just
it.
Like that. And then you just get like, you get paid and you get to go and you're fine. But it's like, yeah, me being the, I'm like the person.
You are Angelina Valente.
I know I am me.
You put your name on the band, you have all the shit.
It's so true. Yeah. And sometimes I do think about that where I'm like, is that confusing? I don't know. But it's whatever. More, that's like another thing that I'm like, oh, who am I? But this is so interesting because I've just been knocking. This happens every episode is like these ideas that I've just been like knocking around in my head that I'm like haven't even been talking about. Mm-hmm. They end up coming up. And I'm like, what the fuck?
That's the great thing about recording podcasts that like I discovered as well. You just start talking about this shit and you're like, oh man.
We all are feeling this way too.
Yeah.
And I think that there's that some part of that is like that collective thing where we're all kind of like feeling a similar thing at the same time. Like it's just rumbling around in our brains.
Yeah. And then someone puts words to it and you're like, oh yeah.
That's
wow.
It. Cool. Yes. So also though, like you're doing all of this, but like I am playing this balancing act. We're just two people. But mm-hmm. You have a child.
I do.
How old is your baby?
He is about two.
Oh,
he is going to turn two on January 25th.
Oh my God. Okay. Oh, like soon. Literally. Yeah. Very soon. Okay. Wow. So how is it like with the kid edition?
Oh, it is hard. You know, first of all, like my wife is incredible. That is the only reason I'm able to do this. Yeah. She has a great job and takes care of like all the medical insurance and all that actually allows me to do this. So like,
that's amazing.
100% couldn't do it without her. She's the only reason I'm able to do this.
Yeah.
Which is great. Cool. I recommend it. Find yourself a partner who's amazing.
That is a huge plus.
Yeah.
In life in general.
Yes. I highly recommend finding a partner.
For this, find a partner. Find a partner, asterisk, who's amazing.
Yeah. So do that. That's, you know, step a big one. Thing.
yeah.
But like, you know, every day I have like about 5 hours to myself where I can just like do whatever outside of work. Like if I'm home with him, like, you know, he's pretty independent. He plays on his own and like, I'll just keep an eye on him. I'll sit at the table. I'll, you know,
that's amazing.
Write some stuff. He takes about a 2.5 to 3 hour nap. I take that time to do what I need to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. It gives me a sense of like purpose and a sense of like urgency when I have to do it. Like I can't just be dicking around. Like when I have this time, you're like, I gotta be productive window. And I gotta do some shit right now. So like it's both, you know, exhausting and tiring and it sucks sometimes, but like also, you know, one of the things that happened when he was born is it just like gave everything a sense of urgency. Like, all right, if I want to live this life, like I need to show him that it's possible. If he wants to do that, like I gotta live this life so that he sees like it's okay, it's an option. You know, you can do this if this is something that you want to pursue.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a mixed bag, I'd say. But ultimately, very more positive than not.
Yes, it's interesting too that he's gonna have like each version of life, like your wife with her job and then like you with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he'll be able to see both of those things reflected and be like, huh, like that's so interesting to me to be able to like choose that. Cause that's like, you know, I mean, my mom was a stay at home mom and then they bought a business when I was like 10 or so. And then she kind of like became a business owner, but it was like both of them in my brain were just like working parents doing the classic, like, we're doing the thing and we're going to work and I own a business and I'm doing taxes and I'm doing whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like so interesting because I'm like, oh my God, like that's going to look so, that would look so different for like my children.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, what the fuck? Like my kids would probably end up growing up and being like, I need a stable job. I'm going to be a lawyer, you know? Because it would just be like, I can't.
No, there's, you know, I have friends who that's how it went is like they saw that and it was a cautionary tale as opposed to like, oh, that's a cool life they're living. It's like, no.
But it is funny. Like, we've been to a lot of weddings this year.
Mm-hmm.
And at all these weddings, people are always like, because every, like, it's funny that I forget that the life we're living is actually, like, the minority.
Very much so.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm just surrounded by other people who are doing exactly what I'm doing, you know? So, like, you're in your little bubble, your echo chamber. And then you step out of that and you talk to these other people. And, like, we're at this wedding in Idaho. And a lot of these people were, like one of the guys was like an air fighter pilot. And so we were like chatting with him for a while. And I was like, your life is very different than ours. And everyone was like, it's so funny. Cause like you talk about what we talk about, like what we do. And then everyone's like, oh my God, like that's so cool. And it's like this thing where you're like, everyone wants this life, but no one wants to actually do it.
Yeah.
Cause it's really fucking hard.
And it's either, and maybe this is the cynic in me, but it's either they're saying it with pity, like, oh, that's so cool that you're doing what you want.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Ugh. Or they're like, or it's aspirational, but there's nothing in between. It's either they're saying, it's either aspirational or they're having pity on you and being like, oh, it's so great that you get to do what you want.
That's so great for you.
Yes. Love that's that so for great. You.
And then they like turn around and they like look, talk, have it. And they're like, oh my God, what a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know, but that's probably just the cynic in me, but
Oh, that's so funny. Oh man. Well, that just changed my whole perspective on everything.
On
so
the wedding conversations.
Yeah. On the wedding conversations. Now I'm never going to tell anybody what I do again. Oh, that's so funny. Wow. That's wild. That's wild. So do you like going to the movies, like going to theaters?
Yes.
Okay. What's like the most recent thing you've seen in theaters that you really liked?
Well, I've been to a bunch of like little screenings for stuff for like Metroland.
Oh my God, cool.
So I went to Proctor's most recently. I wrote about this movie called Blind Cop 2.
Okay, the second one.
Mind you, this is a sequel to a movie that doesn't exist. It's just Blind Cop 2. There's no Blind Cop 1.
Stop. Oh my God.
So I wrote about this movie for Metroland. It just like came across my desk. I saw the trailer. It was fucking hilarious. Okay. So I went to Proctor's. They were showing it. So I went to that. That was great.
Was it in like the little black box theater? Like,
at, the GE theater. Mm-hmm. So I saw that there. I saw they did a Warriors screening, and I wrote about that because these two guys that wrote a book about the Warriors came and were hosting this like film screening. So I went to that one and saw the Warriors on the big screen, which is a movie I never got to see on the big screen because it's from the 70s. That was pretty awesome. The most recent new movie that I actually like loved in the theater was One Battle After Another.
Was that Leonardo DiCaprio?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh my God, I did want to see that.
Paul Thomas Anderson is the director, who is very much a legend.
Yeah, for sure.
Very important to children of the 90s and 2000s.
Yeah. Did you see Licorice Pizza?
I did.
Did you like it?
I liked it. I like all of Paul Thomas Anderson's movies. There's never one that I don't like. I think it's one of his lesser works.
Okay.
Personally, but I still, you know, compared to 90% of the other shit that comes out, like, it's still a great film. It's just
There Will Be Blood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There Will Be Blood, Boogie Nights, The Master. Right. Like, he's made, you know, films that are in the canon of the 21st century, the late 1990s. Like, him, Quentin Tarantino, they're all up there.
Right.
So, you know, I find it hard to, like, when I judge their work, I judge it against the other people of that oeuvre. And then, you know, there's everything else that's like, you know, it's there, it's fine.
Right. It is interesting to think about, like, the same person. Does he write and direct them?
Yes, he does.
Wrote and directed Licorice Pizza and There Will Be Blood is crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. He was like, I'm going to do my little rom-com over here and star the Haim sisters. It's like so crazy. That's crazy. I like forget about that.
No, and he also did Punch Drunk Love. Do you remember that one with Adam Sandler back in the late 2000s? So like
that's also him.
Yep.
So he's like a do one for them, do one for me, do one for them, do one for me, do one for the studio, do one for me.
he's always just doing it for him though. Yeah. Like, and it's just he has a wide variety. You know, he's always said like one of his favorite filmmakers is Robert Altman, who is a very like talky dialogue, you know, director from like the 70s, 80s.
Okay.
But like he always wants to put his own spin on it. And then, you know, there's also very clear influences with like Scorsese and, you know, et cetera. So it's like Altman, Scorsese smashed together in a film is like, you know, that's the most basic way without just going on like a Paul Thomas Anderson quest. Like,
yes.
It's like those two things meet and then you get a movie or you get these two different movies like There Will Be Blood and then, you know, Inherent Vice, his Thomas Pynchon, you know, adaptation that he did. Like,
oh, he did that too.
Yep. He's got a very wild filmography that's all over the place.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Oh my God. So I'm like processing.
It was very exciting though that he released this movie and, you know, it's been pretty well received all around and it, like it's probably going to finally get him a Best Director Oscar.
It did. I saw it and then I was like, that was one of those things that I was like, I gotta go see that in theaters, and then it just like slipped out of my brain. But
it's on HBO Max now if you want to watch it.
That's what I will be watching it. I also took like a whole day almost this year to watch Killers of the Flower Moon. And that, I mean, I don't know why I'm bringing up both these Leonardo DiCaprio movies, but
that's Scorsese, so it also matches.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Yeah,
it blew my I was like, I hadn't had a movie like rock me like that in a very long time. I was like, whoa, it was so good.
No, and that's like that's where I'm at like now, and what's kind of weird about now that I'm like older and I've been watching movies for so long is like it takes a lot to get there.
Yeah,
I always remember that feeling. Yes. And that's what got me into movies is like when I was 14, 15 years old, there were just certain movies and they stick in my mind now. I remember the first time I watched them and they just like rocked me and I was like, holy shit, you can do this?
Yeah.
Like
Right.
What the fuck?
Right. What were a couple of those?
Seven.
Oh, my God.
The
oh my
David
God.
Fincher
yes.
movie.
Of course,
with
of course.
Brad
What's
Pitt.
In the box? Yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I saw that when I was entirely too young
Dude,
to have seen that.
Honestly, same. Honestly, same. Yes, because I vividly remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it was that Beverly Hills Cop, which my dad showed me when I was like 8 years old. And I was like, oh, you can make an action movie that's really fucking funny.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And I still remember, you know, there's a scene in a strip club and I was 8 years old and my dad is like trying to cover my eyes. Yes. And I'm like, dude, they've been dropping F-bombs this whole movie. Right. That guy died seven times, but I can't see boobs. Like, right. What the fuck is happening? Like, yes. Where do we draw these lines?
Right.
And then Requiem for a Dream is another one. Those are like, you know, I kind of came up with this. Those are like my three core memory films that like really got me into this shit. And I was like, oh, holy hell.
Wow, those are all... Wow, that's wild. I remember the first time I watched Requiem for a Dream too, and I also remember
I still only seen it once and will never probably watch it again.
Same.
But like it plays over and over in my head.
Yeah. And I remember also I have this like weird memory attached to that movie where I took this class in college called Drugs and Human Behavior, and it was actually a really cool fucking class. Yeah. And this professor was amazing, and she was like, she like rolled in on the first day. She got like dreads down to her butt and she's like the psych professor. And she's like, okay, like, hi, I'm me, whatever. I'm teaching this class, yada, yada, yada. She's like, you know, actually, like, I'm not here to tell you not to do drugs. Like, she's like, I love drugs. I met my husband at a fish show in a cornfield in the middle of Indiana. And I was like, oh shit. And she's like, but I'm here to tell you, like, if you're going to do drugs, you got to be smart about that.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa. And it was like the first time that drugs had been like put like that. And then she was like, so for example, like this movie, and it was like Requiem for a Dream. And she was like, those pupils would not be getting bigger. Those pupils would be pinching because he's on this drug. And I remember her being like, these are all of the bad things that they do in movies to make you think that drugs are this way and they're not. And I was like, oh my God. And then it was like that scene from Requiem for a Dream. And I was like, oh, and here's that movie again. Like, yeah, that weird fucking movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, that movie just lives in my psyche. And
100%.
When there's a guy who's just saying ass to ass and Jennifer Connelly is completely broken. And I'm just like, and now every time I see Jennifer Connelly in a movie, I just think about that.
Yes.
And it just, it lives there.
Yep.
And I
and
can't
it's in there.
Unsee it
yeah.
ever.
That's also how I kind of feel about Donnie Darko. I was like, I could have gone my whole life without seeing the movie. I really didn't need it.
It was very important for me as a 2000s emo kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, very important
totally.
Movie.
I can see that. And I understand that. And I'm like, I get that. But like my college boyfriend was like, who was a 2000s emo kid?
Yeah.
Like, you have to watch this movie. And I was like, okay. And we sat and we watched it. And I was like, I didn't need it. I just like, I think I was too old for it. Like if I had seen it in high school, I would have been like, whoa. But then I was just like, no, I don't want this.
I'll probably like, I tried to revisit Donnie Darko like 4 or 5 years ago. And that's exactly how I felt rewatching.
Yeah.
I was like, the nostalgia of watching this is great, but like now watching it objectively, all these people suck. They're fucking annoying.
Yes.
I hate this movie.
Yes. And then actually we just recently watched completely different vibe, but we just watched The Prince of Egypt because I was like, have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I'm wondering what the thread is
okay.
here.
Because I was like, this movie used to be like my favorite movie when I was a kid.
Okay.
I was obsessed with this movie. I watched it all the time. I fucking loved the music. I used to like love singing her like cool lines, whatever. And I was like, JP, like, you gotta watch this movie. Like, you're gonna love it. Like, it's so, the music is so good. You're gonna love it. And we were watching it, and he's like, we're like 10 minutes in. And like, people are just like being whipped and like falling on their knees and like actively dying on screen. And like, children are dying. And like, it's the Bible story. It's the whole fucking story of Moses. And it's so dark and so sad. And we're like 10 minutes in, and he's like, did you watch this in school? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay. And he didn't say anything for a while. And I'm like, I can tell he's like not getting the vibe. And I'm like, what is going on? And then he's like, you really didn't watch this in school? I'm like, why do you keep saying that? And he's like, because this feels like an after school special. And I was like, no, like this was so good. Like the music was so good. And then I'm watching it and I'm like, oh no.
No.
This is an after school special. I got. Like, and it was like, that was the thing for me where I was like, the nostalgia factor was like great for nostalgia, but I was like, oh, this does objectively suck.
Yeah.
I was like so sad about that. It really broke my heart.
I've been having this discussion with a lot of people about like this because we play, you know, one of the bands I play in is called Sad Dads. We you know, major in playing emo covers from our childhood.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, my God. Oh, my God. I love
that's
that.
That's the joke of the name. Like, we're sad dads. We're still playing the same shit 20 years later when we're all dads and in our
30s.
Yes. So, you know, it's all just a meta joke. But, like, it leads to these discussions that I've been trying to have of, like, whether something is actually good or whether we just like it because of the memories attached.
Totally.
And so, like,
totally.
All this music that we play and these covers that we do, I'm just like, is this fucking good or do we just like this because of this? And I'm just like, I've constantly just been having that argument in my own head, and then it leads to arguments with other people. And I'm like, you know, Taking Back Sunday's Tell All Your Friends, not that good of an album. And then everyone's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, really go back and listen to it. Not that good.
I know, because like that also really becomes apparent, I think, when you have a partner and you're like, you gotta like see or listen to this thing. Cause I remember like JP was like never into Taking Back Sunday. And I was like, you gotta listen to this. Like, it's so good. And then I was like, Oh no,
not that good.
Like, what am I trying to think of? Like, when he's talking about the napkin. Oh my God.
Oh, if you could slit my throat and with my one last gasping breath, I'd apologize for bleeding on your shirt.
Yes.
It's the cringiest fucking line ever.
I'd apologize. it's crazy. And then, oh my God, but what is the one about the napkin? The line about the napkin that I,
a thousand clever lines
unread on clever napkins. And I was always like, this is so, like, I'm like 16. I'm like, oh, this is so deep. It's so cool. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, this sucks.
Yeah. And we go to every show and we cover Cute Without the E because if we're a 2000s fucking emo cover band, we have to.
Sorry. And it's also like, if I heard a band do that live, I'd be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. And I love it. And we perform it live and it's always so much fun. But I'm like, this song sucks.
Objectively sucks, but it's fun.
Yeah.
But it's
so much fun. Yeah. All the memories that are attached to it. We do the same thing with the middle every single show. And I'm like, I fucking hate this song.
Yeah.
And if I play it one more time, I'm going to blow my brains out. But then every time we play it, it gets a great reaction. Everyone's singing along.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it's the nostalgia thing of like, is this actually good or is it just the memories we have attached to this thing?
Yeah. Which I think like when you're anything that you really, really like when you're 15 or 16 before your frontal lobe is fully developed probably isn't that good.
No. It's probably but not. Like, it also informs everything and like
totally
for the rest of your life. There's this great Chris Rock joke. I was talking about this with TJ TJ Foster, my editor at Metroland. We were talking about this, and it's like there's this Chris Rock joke that he tells about whatever you are listening to or consuming from a culture perspective when you first lost your virginity, that's what you're going to like for the rest of your
life.
Forever. And it's absolutely 100% true. I still listen to emo revival shit. It's 90s hip hop. Yes. It's the same shit that I was listening to then, and it will never leave me.
Mine is like Limp Bizkit. Yeah. Taking Back Sunday.
Yeah.
And like Ingrid Michaelson.
And you'll like it forever. And it'll form your music and culture taste for the rest of your life.
That first Ingrid Michaelson album. Fuck me up with that shit. I remember being on the bus and listening to that. I had my headphones in. I'm crying. I'm like, I feel this so hard.
Yeah.
God, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. But you know what I also love about like Eerie is I'm like, TJ, you scratch my like emo itch.
But adult.
It's good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I always feel like bad saying that because I'm like, but it's emo. But I'm like, I mean that in the best way. Like, it's just like, it's my favorite fucking music.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the music that I like. I feel like, I also feel like it's like the things that you discover on your own for the first time, like in your life, also can really like form that. And I'm watching my niece go through there right now. She's 12. So she's like, you know, discovering
that's
all these
the
things
age, yeah.
Yeah, that's the age, right? So she's like discovering all these things, and I'm like, oh, this is the shit that you're gonna be like, you're gonna be my age, and then you're gonna be like, oh my God, remember this thing, and like pulling it up on YouTube, you know, and being like, oh my God, we gotta watch Salad Fingers, you know.
It's like, whatever. Salad Fingers,
and I'm just like, and it's also just so cool to like watch a kid go through that too. Like, I didn't really get to see that as much with my nephew because I left for college when he was about that age. So like now I'm seeing that with my niece and her, like we went to Hot Topic the other day, and she, of course, she's like obsessed with Hot Topic. I'm like, girl after my own heart. Like, I was like, I love it so much. Like, this is also where I went and I got like my band t-shirts and like my hot pink skinny jeans. And
I didn't even know Hot Topic was still open.
Oh, It's open.
Oh, it's open. It's thriving.
Oh, it's honestly thriving because I've been there with her probably like 3 times in the last year.
Yeah.
And also they do have some cool shit. They have like some cool like Miyazaki things. Okay. And like, because anime is huge right now.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. The younger generation loves fucking anime.
Loves anime. And actually like JP has really gotten me into anime. Mm-hmm. And I'm also kind of obsessed with anime. I bought a t-shirt. I did it.
Did you?
For one of the characters. Because I was like, I fucking love this guy. I need his shirt. I need his face on my body. I was like,
right,
I want to walk around and have people look at me and be like, you know. And I'm like, I know.
Yeah.
Like, it is, truthfully, as like a movie person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, this, over the last year, probably the best... some of the best like visual media I've consumed has been.
Are you going anime. Back to like Studio Ghibli stuff? Like,
so we did, okay. We did some of that, but there's like 2 things that I'm thinking of right now, mm-hmm. that I think like, if you could get into it, would be amazing. Like, it made me feel like, and I loved like all the Avengers movies and like the Marvel movies and everything. Like, and it's like, there were moments in those that I really, really liked. And I was like, this is, I thought that those were good, cool fight scenes and moments and twists and whatever. And this was like, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Like, I was like shocked at the things that were happening on screen. Yeah. So Demon Slayer and Jujutsu mm-hmm. Kaisen.
I did not see Jujutsu Kaisen. Okay. Demon Slayer was fucking awesome.
Demon Slayer is so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. I'm like, I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. Jujutsu Kaisen. Demon Slayer will be like my first love because mm-hmm. that was like the first anime that I like watched. But then like Jujutsu Kaisen was blew my mind.
Akira is mine because of that exact reason. It's the first like anime movie.
That one.
It's from the late 80s.
Okay.
It was the first one that I saw in high school and I was just like, oh, holy fuck. It was another one of those that's holy shit, you can do this.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And it blew my mind. And then And again, high school, college, I just watched like everything I could possibly get my hands on.
Yes.
And that led me to Studio Ghibli and then like Ghost in the Shell and all this other like anime stuff. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So you're already in the anime world.
I mean, I'm not like a super fan where like I watch anime all the time, but like I certainly respect the medium and it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like the shit that they do with that is so cool.
Visually,
it's stunning.
Yeah. And I love that they're like releasing like the movies and stuff too. Mm-hmm. And they're like putting them in theater. Cause we went and we saw the Demon Slayer movie this year too. And I was like, that was like one of the things I was like, I want to see this in theaters.
Yeah.
And it was so good. I was like crying. I was like, this is amazing. I cried a lot during Demon Slayer. I was like, holy fuck. The whole thing with like the spider family.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy. That was crazy writing. I feel like the writing is amazing. I just feel like, I don't know.
No, there's so much great stuff to it. And like, you know,
it's more of a show than a movie, I guess. But
no, so. But I mean, it's the same thing with like Studio Ghibli. Like when you watch like Spirited Away, like,
yeah,
obviously there's this very basic kid's story there that works for, you know, a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, but then there's so much deeper because the writing's so deep and metaphorical that it works for adults. It's Pixar based their whole thing off Studio Ghibli. Like,
oh,
it was,
really?
Yeah, they were massively inspired and that's where like all the Pixar things came from and why they tried to make these movies that worked for both kids and adults. And that's why when you watch Up and you're fucking bawling your eyes out
in the first 5 minutes,
it's all from Studio Ghibli. So they were a huge inspiration on like Pixar and that whole thing. So like they were the ones to do it first, you know. It's incredible art stuff.
Wow.
I love it.
That is amazing. I did not know that. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I feel like you're so knowledgeable about film and it's like you literally just like have done it enough in your spare time to like intake all this information. Like you're just like interested enough in it that you're just like I don't know anything. Like I know about like as much as you know about film, about musical theater, because I studied it for 4 years. I have a fucking stupid degree in it, you know what I mean? So I'm like, that's why I know so much about it. But there's nothing else in my life that I love that you care about it and love it so much that you're like, you just like consume it and like teach yourself. And like, I just think that that's so cool.
Honestly, it's like the way I have to go about it.
Okay.
It's like the way that my brain functions. Like if I care about something, I need to know everything about it. And like now, because it's kind of my job with working for Metroland and I'm trying to write this screenplay, like I better know what the fuck I'm doing. Like
also that, right? Yeah.
I need to study this shit. I need to teach myself all of this stuff so that I can hopefully do an okay job.
Yeah.
That's hopefully, the goal.
So I can hopefully do an okay job.
Yeah.
Corey, 2026.
I just want to get like good enough that I do an okay job and people are like, oh, that's pretty decent.
That's cool. Pretty thanks. Decent. I think that I'd be happy with that too.
Yeah. As long as people respond that way to my work, I'm good.
Good to go. Feeling fulfilled. Yeah.
No, but it's like the same thing. Like, you know, I'm also a Buffalo Bills fan, but I have to like understand everything about how the plays are functioning and like,
okay.
Because otherwise if I'm watching this thing, like it's not as gratifying an experience if I'm just like mindlessly consuming like, oh, that's entertaining, that's cool, that's fun. Like I need to know and I need to understand like these are the decisions they're making from a filmmaking perspective. These are the decisions they're making from a writing perspective. Like it just, it's the way my brain works and the way like I have to understand it to like get it.
Yes.
And it's the same thing with watching football, like, or watching whatever.
Yeah.
Like I really just need to like understand it so that I have a fulfilling viewing experience.
Yes. Oh my God.
Because otherwise I feel like I'm just like an empty vessel, like watching this thing.
That's how I feel about like reality TV. That's what reality TV makes me feel like.
But like
I wish I didn't, because I have
like an hour or two a day where I just do that and like,
yeah,
all right, time for the Bachelorette or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I turn my brain off. I don't need to understand anything.
Yeah.
These people are ridiculous and entertaining and cool.
Yes.
Like everyone needs that time. But like when I'm actually like consuming something, and that's the way I view movies, because movies are, you know, they're art. So I want to understand it. Same with music, same with whatever. So like I approach it with that. Like I just really want to understand what they're going for and what they're trying to do.
That's so cool.
So like basically since I was 15 to now 23 years, I've been like studying this shit on my own time.
Yeah.
And nerding out about it so that I can like understand and talk about it at least semi-intelligently.
Love that. That is amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here and doing this. Was there anything else you wanted to like touch on about your podcast or?
No, it's coming out soon. check
what's it
out.
Called?
It's called O Real Original. Real spelled R-E-A-L. You know, play on words and shit.
Same with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Thank you.
So yeah, it's coming out soon. I don't have an exact release date yet because again, video editing is a bitch.
Dude, I know. I was like, I can't. We were just talking about it last night too, because I'm like, I need it. Like, you need to have it.
You
but
do.
I'm just like, I so don't need another thing to do.
But we need, if we're going to do this as a part of the Metroland like podcast network, we need like a team that can do it. And just be like, okay, we record, we pass it off to these people who edit it. And then like, and we're just not at that place now. Yes. And that's fine.
And that's why I'm like, when it's at that place, then I'll
absolutely
have video.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I can't do it and not get paid for it.
I get it.
I'm like, my time is like so little and valuable to me that I'm just like, oof, because I already do so much shit that, you know, and I'm like, ugh, so that's tough.
Yeah. And I was just like, yeah, let's do it. And that was a mistake, but here we are. We got to just like, and now I'm at a place where like I can't have wasted all these people's time. Like,
right? Yeah,
we did this
it.
All. Like, I have to incorporate it. So
yes,
here we are.
Good for you. Good for you. That's great.
And so when it comes out, it comes out, and I'm excited for people to hear it and to.
Me too. I'm excited for you.
Learn about these twin films.
Yeah, I just love the concept. Love the whole thing. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Yeah. Talking to normal people.